Our message this morning comes to us from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. I know there's a title listed in the bulletin, but I'm not going that direction, only because the malls are closed today. So we're going to focus in, though, on John chapter 1. So to you, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning, Merry Christmas to all of you. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse comes to us from John chapter 1, verse 14. And it is probably what I consider to be the most profound sentence that has ever been written. And why? Because it puts into words and it expresses the most profound mysteries that have ever occurred in human history. And what is that mystery? That the eternal Son of God, through whom all things were created at a certain point in time, took on human flesh, and he came into our world. He became our brother. And that is the greatest gift that you or I will ever receive. And this is the miracle of Christmas. God dwelt among us. And so the theme for today, this glorious Christmas day, is God, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Now I know Pastor Allman's sitting there going, what are you talking about, Mr. Whitney? Tabernacled? The verse says the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. So where are we getting this word tabernacled from? Well, later in the message, you're going to find out where I'm going with this word. Tabernacled and dwelt, to me, are the same thing, and you're going to see that in just a few moments. But first, we're going to take a look at the first part of this verse. And the Word became flesh. Well, what is that talking about? Or should I say, who is it talking about? For in that passage, the Word is really a person. And that person is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And here in John chapter 1, right at the very first verse, he has identified for us who that Word is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So what is John doing here? He's going back to the very beginning. He's consistently and consciously imitating the language of Genesis chapter 1, which says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And John is telling us that the Word was there at the very beginning, active, and involved in the act of creation. And that this one who is called the Word was equal to God. He was divine in his nature, while at the same time a distinct person. There was never a time where he was not, and all things came into being through him, through this one that we call the Word. Now for me, personally, that's kind of mind-boggling. But this is the very mystery of the Holy Trinity. We have one God, yet there are three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit. And the Word here is referring to the Son, who is the eternal Son of God, with God the Father, and he was there and has been there and will be there for all eternity. By and through that Word, the whole universe holds together. He who put the planets in place and keeps them spinning around, the one who it's called forth the stars and the seas and the mountains and the hills, and the one who made all the creatures who live upon this earth, the birds, the fish, four-legged creatures, and yes, even us two-legged creatures, man and woman and all of us ever since. This is the one here who is called the Word in our passage for today. And even more amazing and even more mind-blowing and mind-boggling than this it is to ponder the God of creation and the mystery of the Trinity. More amazing than that is the news that, what? the eternal Son of God took on human flesh. And the Word became flesh. God became incarnate, and he became to us in the flesh. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And now he's lying in a manger. This child who had created all people and all things that had ever been created. That's a pretty profound story. And then there is the humbleness that goes on about this story. We have a little baby in a very little known town, at least at that time. He was lying, not in a soft feather bed, but lying in a manger. This child who was the one who had created all people and all things. This manger, this lowly manger, who was actually an animal's feed trough. Because they couldn't find a hotel room to have a baby in. And so here is our God incarnate, lying in the manger, the creator of the universe, coming in the flesh, and in such a lowly position. And he came as our greatest treasure, our greatest gift, the greatest blessing that any of us will ever have. I compare it to this. Someone gives you your Christmas present, the most beautiful and the most costly jewel in the world. It's like what Virtus would give to Joyce, except he wrapped it in a brown paper bag. And so here is the Son of God coming to save us. And he comes wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he's lying in a manger and not in a palace. But did I say he was a gift? Well, he is. He is a very special gift. The Word becoming flesh is a gift. It's the greatest Christmas gift that we will ever receive. For he came not to search us out, not to terrorize us, not to condemn us. He comes to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to give us life in the place of death. He came to give us a future and a hope and a blessed comfort. Not despair or doom or condemnation, but hope and joy and comfort, peace and forgiveness, all wrapped up in those swaddling clothes, wrapped up in that one, the Word who became flesh. And we will find that present. We find him under a tree, but actually not under a tree, but on the tree of the cross. For that is where that baby is headed. And it's so wonderfully portrayed, and I know Pastor every year points that out. And I'm reminded of it too, as we see our manger scene, where that cross extends into that manger. That is where Jesus is headed. From lying in that lowly manger to hanging on a cruel cross, to lying lifeless in a cold tomb. It is our Lord Jesus who goes that distance for us. And that is why he became flesh, to do all that for us. Because it is for our sins that he died. And it is our death that he suffered. But by doing that, though, the Holy Son of God purchased redemption for each and every one of us, setting us free from everything that bound us up, forgiving our sins, winning our salvation. There is no Christmas gift that we will ever receive that has it all, as this special gift does. The forgiveness of life, forgiveness and life and eternal salvation, and resurrection life that can come only through him, as he conquered the grave, and that gift will last forever. And this all-surprising gift is delivered to us. It's delivered to us each and every time we hear the gospel proclaimed. Again, it's quite humble and ordinary looking. It comes to us when we hear the sermons proclaimed. It comes to us when we eat and we drink. the bread and the wine. But it's connected with these words. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And God gives us his gospel gifts, much like he sent the Savior. Not very much to look at, but they are glorious gifts, and they are hidden in a very humble wrapping. And so now we come to the word tabernacle, which I mentioned at the beginning part of this message. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. But it could also read, and the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word in our text says dwelt. And it is the same word that is used in the Bible to refer to tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle, because that was the dwelling place of God. For in the Old Testament, the Lord God dwelt among his people, the Israelites, at the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a tent in the beginning, a big tent that the Israelites were told to take with them on their journeys to the Promised Land. The tabernacle was a holy place. It was a place that God dwelt to be present with his people, to guard and to guide them, to forgive their sins, to hear their prayers, and to show his presence and glory among them. And ultimately to reassure them and give them confidence that they could go forward in their journey. The tabernacle is also a place of sacrifice and of offerings to atone for sin and to remove guilt and uncleanness. So all that the Old Testament tabernacle foreshadows, all that is now is fulfilled, and it is delivered to us in an even greater way. When we see the union of the divinity of Jesus and his humanity, he is the presence of God in our lives. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so our Lord Jesus is our tabernacle, for he is present with us to serve and to save us. And that is the good news for each and every one of us this morning. That is the Christmas joy. That is the Christmas peace that we have. It is the greatest Christmas present, Jesus Christ present among us. And then at the end of John 1:14, it says, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, it was the Apostle John that could literally say those words. Why? Well, first of all, he saw with his own eyes the Son of God in the flesh. He saw the glory of Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he saw Jesus glorified in the most mysterious way when he saw the Lord Jesus lifted up on the cross. God's glory is mainly shown in his mercy. And Christ crucified is the most glorious mercy that we can have for each and every one of us. And then John saw Christ's glory when the Lord stood among them. When he had risen from the dead. And so John saw his glory with his own eyes. But for you and I, for right now, we see that glory through the eyes of faith. It is the Holy Spirit that works through us, through the gospel that is proclaimed. But one day, we too are going to see our Lord face to face, and that will be a glorious and wonderful day. And that is the miracle of Christmas. That is the mystery of the incarnation and the hope and glory that is to come. And so in conclusion, we say the Word became flesh and he dwelt or tabernacled among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So on this Christmas morn, we give thanks to God for that glorious truth coming to us in the world, that little babe in Bethlehem who ultimately will bring us faith, forgiveness, and love through his death on that cross. May that be for us the Christmas joy this day as we celebrate the birth of our newborn King. In his precious name, amen. And O Word made flesh, be present with us this day and fill us with your limitless grace. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. And God's Christmas people said, Amen.